It's much nicer to talk to the kids about God's love than it is to talk about our wonderful gospel reading from Matthew today, although they're connected, but. So we get this beautiful list of rules, right? You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not divorce, you shall not swear falsely. And not only do we get the list of rules, but we also get like this checklist of things that go along with it. For example, you should not murder, but if you are angry with someone, you should leave your gift at the altar and be reconciled first. And then once, note the word here, once you have quickly reconciled whatever anger there is, then you can come back to the altar and offer your gift to God. And not only should you not commit adultery, but should you even look at a woman with any sort of lust or desire, you have committed adultery. And then if you were by chance to marry a divorced woman, you've automatically committed adultery. Easy to follow, right? It seems that these rules and circumstances sort of put together a box for us to live in. But it's not only a box, it seems like it's more of a trap. That whatever we do, we can't win. I always thought it was nicer to think about my faith as something that's just between me and God. Something that no one else needed to be concerned about because it was personal, right? I do something wrong, I'll talk to God about it. When we hear rules like this from Matthew, though, today, we see that our relationship with God has more to do with others than it has to do with just ourselves and God. If we purely listen to the so-called rules, we will be trapped. We have all sinned, we have all been angry at times, and we will all sin again. So where's the hope? Why not just give up? When Jesus taught, he always used ideas and concepts that the people that he was talking to could understand. And his teachings were usually about traditional Mosaic laws. But the fascinating part about this section of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is that even today, these things that Jesus brings up are things that we still encounter in our lives. They're things that we can still relate to. We get angry and upset, and on occasion, hold on to that anger for much too long. Adultery, in the finest sense, floods our culture now with photos and videos of the sexiest man of the year or the best dressed on the red carpet. And statistics show us that more marriages are ending in divorce than lasting forever. If we aren't careful about how we interpret Jesus' words, we can find ourselves in a world of hurt, feeling ashamed and guilty. Because we do face these same situations. We do encounter anger. We do encounter lust and desire. And we do encounter shamefulness, sinfulness. But I wonder if the point that Jesus is trying to make, if it really has anything at all to do with adultery or murder or divorce. Are the actual events that Jesus is telling us to avoid really the things that Jesus is talking about? Or is Jesus trying to express that faith is not only about our actions, but also about what is truly in our hearts? If faith were only a personal relationship between me and God, the answer would probably be yes. Don't do bad things. Don't swear. Right? But as we've heard Jesus preach over and over and over again, we know that our faith is not only a personal relationship. Faith is not just about me and God. God calls us to be in relationship all people around us. Notice that Jesus doesn't say, if you're angry with someone, pray to God for forgiveness and then offer your gift to God. No. Jesus says, if you're angry with someone, go to them before you even offer your gift. Reconcile with the people around you. Jesus doesn't say we need to go to God first, but is simply pointing out, and remember, these are the Mosaic laws that the people are following, simply pointing out that our actions affect other people. Our faith is about how we treat other people. Jesus sort of reframes the whole concept of righteousness. We can pat ourselves on the back for not committing actual murder, while we turn around and ruin the life of someone else or a reputation of someone else with the words we say. This idea that we must reconcile with someone else before we come forward to God stops us in our tracks. It makes us stop before just coming to God. There is no easy private relationship with God. Resentment, alienation, estrangement from others, all these things are things that prevent me from giving my gifts to God. Even the saying, if you've said it to your own children, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all, even that doesn't fly in Jesus' realm of teaching here. We also pat ourselves on the back for maybe not actually committing sexual adultery, but yet we create primary relationships with work or sports or even the internet rather than our loved ones. Jesus is trying to shift our attention from the particular behaviors that we have and shifting our behavior to internal orientations that we have to cultivate. This is the sort of righteousness that, when we've been talking about the blessedness of the Beatitudes, this is the righteousness that Jesus is talking about. Jesus teaches us that our behaviors are not what make us God's children. It's not about what we do, but it's rather about our hearts. We must orient our hearts towards love. Not only love for God, but love for one another. As Matthew wrote, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times." It's not just between you and God. It's between you and every person you encounter. Actions alone do not make us righteous. It's our hearts that follow Jesus' examples that make us right with God. Amen.